Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
The old 100th, I just want to start here. This is just a jumping off point. I don't want to re-preach what I preached a week ago last Sunday. I wasn't here last Sunday, as you all well know. And the Sunday before, I'm starting this series. I'm telling you where we're going. This morning, I'm going to preach the immediate future of the church. Next Sunday morning, I'm preaching the coming world leader. The following Sunday after that, which will be the first Sunday in February, the apostate church, the coming world church. And you better know time is running out. There's some things I want to share with you. I'll give you a little tidbit of some of next Sunday morning's message and the following Sunday morning's message. And it's kind of, I want to put this all together. Let's all stand together. I just want to read what Spurgeon called the great 100th, the old 100th. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter, he's talking about going into the tabernacle. He's talking about entering into the temple. New Testament equivalent of the New Testament local church. The word synagogue, Old Testament Judaism, the word synagogue means assembly. The word church is the word ecclesia. It means called out assembly. We're to assemble. We're not to meet by ourselves. We're not the church is not the family. The family is not the church. We understand that. That was last week's message. But enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So you're supposed to go to church. Yeah, the tabernacle was the center of Jewish society. After that, the temple. It was the center of King David's life. He loved it. And he said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray right there. Father, we ask your blessing upon the word of God. I pray, Jesus, that you would meet with us, that you would visit us. We that are born again, we are indwelt by the very Holy Spirit of God. Lord, may we not suppress him this morning. May we take our Bibles, and Lord, would you teach us? Would you preach to us? Would you enlighten us the spiritual truth found in the eternal word of God? And Jesus, we ask that you'd grow our grace. Grow our faith. God, may we become more like you and understand these are the very last days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated and turn back to the 27th Psalm, 26th Psalm, Psalm 26, verse 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Go on over to the 27th Psalm. Verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, right here on this earth, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. David loved going to the tabernacle. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place and the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. The church is important. The word ecclesia is found 112 times in the New Testament. The church is God's idea. What a wonderful thing the church is. It's great to be a part. Isn't church great? Man, it is. We get to come together and fellowship and worship. And we come together in the middle of a cold winter. In the midst of a dark culture, we come together and we regather and we revive, we regenerate, we get stronger. That's all done by the Holy Spirit. And I can't put my thumb on it. I understand the theological truths taught in the Word of God and taught in the New Testament. But I'll just say it this way: something special happens when a New Testament church comes together. Man, it isn't just the preacher. It isn't just the preaching. Preaching's big. The Word of God, we're Bible-centric. It isn't just the brethren. It isn't just the fellowship. We're told to come together in the book of Hebrews that we might excite one another unto good works. It's not about I'm an island, and it's my four and no more. And it's not about worshiping my own little philosophies, or worshiping my own little children, or worshiping my own little ideas, or you know, no church is good enough, and there's no such thing as a perfect church, and you got that right, and there's no perfect family either. But God commands us, we come together, and it makes a difference in the world. We get to be that lighthouse. May we burn hot with the truth of God, because this is a world of darkness. Before I start preaching, just a little tidbit of what's going to happen here in the next several weeks. If I was a betting man, I wouldn't bet that Jesus is coming. This is truth. This is my heart. I'm not setting a time, a date, or an hour. I wouldn't bet that Jesus is coming in 10 years. If I was a betting man and I was playing the odds, I'd bet that he's coming this year. We are so close to the rapture of the church. I heard with my own ears, watching a news program, a network news program, the president of China, President Xi, standing up and I say I heard with my own ears. I heard the interpreter while he was talking, right? Calling for an end to all nations in the world. A world without borders, without nations. My friend, that is the one world government. When he said that, I thought, man, am I reading Revelation chapter 17? That's amazing. This week, I don't know if it'll come to fruition or not. I'm just telling you, they're so brazen in what they're saying now. They're saying by February the 30th, they're enacting a law. It's a digital vaccine ID number, somehow, some way. In France, in Italy, in Australia, most of the European continent, not everybody, they want to institute this law by February the 30th, and they're saying without this digital ID, you can't live normal life. You can't go to events. You can't buy groceries. You can't. Listen, I am not preaching. I know you know this. I'm not saying that the vaccine is the mark of the beast. It is not. I'm saying this is a precursor. This is exactly how it's going to happen. And people are getting acclimated. They are. Americans, almost half of America, getting acclimated to this idea. I'm not anti-vaccine. I hate having to come back to that. But I have to say that because some people are going to say, oh, he's against the vaccine. I'm not saying that this morning. I'm saying Jesus is coming very, very soon. I just got to know I got to believe. I know this. The angels, they know what's going on. They're getting, hey, It's getting soon, fellas. It's going to happen real soon. Jesus is coming very, very soon. Now, that being said, we need to plan like he's not coming for 100 years. Don't sell everything you got and live and wait on a housetop or on a hilltop somewhere. That's foolish. We need to plan like he's not coming for 100 years, but we need to live like he's coming today. Amen. That's what we need as children of God. All right, so last Sunday morning, a week ago Sunday morning, I preached on filling in the blanks. The immediate future of the Church of Jesus Christ is only limited by our faith. There are some things that are going to happen in your life and in my life, and we're just supposed to occupy till he comes. We're to fill in the blanks, and we're to live faithful to God. And I want to say this again. Our immediate future is only limited by our faith. Now, there are five things that are going to happen to the church that are written in stone. They are prophetic. They are part of the eschatological calendar. They are going to happen, but they haven't happened yet. Right now, we're living at the end of the church age, and put it in a curriculum vernacular, we're to fill in the blanks of our life. We're to be found faithful to God, living for the glory of God. Immediate future is our Jerusalem project. The immediate future is those gospel presentations on the television. The immediate future is our Fill Michigan with Gospel Tracks, the contest of the month of February. The immediate future is we need to be faithful in winning people to Christ right now, being faithful with everything God has put on my plate, and being faithful, just filling in the blanks. Because we're supposed to be in the saddle when the trumpet sounds, not somewhere at ease in Zion. Jesus is coming very, very soon. Five things are going to happen to the church. I'm going to try to preach five things this morning, and it is not going to take me long. I'm not going to belabor anything. We need to be faithful right now. For instance, just illustration. I mentioned 2 weeks ago a new 800-seat auditorium. And all it takes is money. We're only limited by our faith. 800-seat auditorium for the glory of God, for the cause of the gospel, that we'd be even an even bigger lighthouse than what we are right now. And I had some men come up to me and say, 800, what are you talking about? We're talking to 1,000. I said, believe me, I'm leaving all kinds of room on the outside of the seating to have 1,000 people, all right? So an 800-seat auditorium, you say, how's that going to happen? I don't know, but we're going to follow God. And it might be baby steps. We're going to plan like it's 100 years. It might be that we do add on to this building a couple more times. Who knows? It might be that we break ground this summer. I have no idea, but I'm willing to follow God. And I want everything that God has for Fundamental Baptist Church and everything that God has for me and has for you and whatever time we have left. Immediate future. Fill in the blanks. Be faithful to God. Don't go running to the world. Don't start following shiny objects. Stay faithful. There are only so many churches that really are on fire for God. We are not the epitome of that church. Be faithful. We need you here. Man, there's a work that must be done. If we just scatter all over hither and yon, then we end up being that coal that leaves the fire, and we kind of get colder and drift away from the truths, and we lose our evangelistic fervor. Let's be the evangelistic center of the north. Let's be that one of those lighthouses that God just raises up and brightens the light in the days before Jesus comes. Number one, we're going to be caught up. We're going to be raptured. It's going to be homecoming day. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. And verses 51 through 53. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 53. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. That is the rapture of the church. That's when the trumpet of God sounds. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, turn over there quickly. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4, and I'll just read a few verses, maybe verse 16 and 17 out of this passage. One in every 25 verses in the New Testament tells us Jesus is coming again. Jesus said it again and again, I will come again. It is the most mentioned doctrine topic in the New Testament outside the gospel of Jesus Christ itself. Before Jesus left and he birthed this church, he said, I'm coming back for you. Jesus came to this earth, visited this earth, lived that life, died a sacrificial death, made blood atonement, went to the grave, rose again from the dead, ascended on up into heaven, birthed his church, and before he did, he said, I am coming back for you. Here it is 2,000 years later. It says in verses 16 and 17 of 1 Thessalonians 4, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Caught up, seized. We're going to be taken from this earth. We'll be rescued from this earth and this culture. We'll be raptured. The church will not go through the tribulation. I can show you that in the Bible. I can show you that 6 ways till Sunday. Please do not believe any of the false doctrine that is being preached in so many groups and so many circles today. Get this world ready for the kingdom. We need to reach this world for Christ. Christ said, I'm going to come back for my church. In Revelation, in chapters 1 through 3, there's a reference to the church 16 times. Chapter 4 and verse 1 is the rapture. There, through the 7 years of tribulation, the church is not mentioned one time. Not until Armageddon, when Jesus comes back and comes back with his bride and fights this battle of Armageddon. So we have been delivered from the wrath to come. That's what it says in 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10, he will keep his church, he'll keep us from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the entire world. That is the tribulation. So things that haven't happened yet, fill in the blanks right now. That's the life we're living right now. Things that haven't happened yet, the rapture. We're going to be rescued. Jesus made a promise. You can count on him. He is coming back to this world. It's coming very, very soon. Pastor Josh did a good job preaching some of that last Sunday morning. Man, we don't know the day or the hour, but we know the seasons. And here we are. And here's the president. Kings of the East. Revelation chapter 17. The kings of the East. We don't need any more nations. You know what he's saying? We need a president. That's what he's saying. No more borders. Calling for a world government. And Jesus is coming soon. The church will be caught up. Glory to God. The church will be examined, be rewarded. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in this body, whether it be good or bad. Because God is a just God, there is a day after we are raptured that we are going to be examined. There's going to be a thorough examination of our life. We're saved by grace. I cannot say this too many times. Heaven is not a reward. We didn't earn it. We're saved by grace. When the old hymn writer said, we're going to our reward, he was talking about what we did for God here in this earth, being saved by grace, what we did for him, our faithfulness, we're going to be rewarded accordingly. And heaven's not the reward. There are five crowns mentioned in the New Testament. There's going to be an award ceremony, if you will. I'm going to be judged. 1 Corinthians in chapter 3 and verses 11 through about verse 15 talks about the judgment seat of Christ, the bema seat of Christ, where every child of God, everybody that is born again, we're saved by grace. We're going to heaven because of Jesus, because of the finished work of the cross. Glory to God. That's amazing grace. Amen. Then we stand before God at the bema seat and we give an account for our lives, to what we did for Christ. And it's a ceremony where there's going to be rewards. And then there's going to be another event after that. I know I didn't go too deep into that, but there's a lot to be said about that. But there is a day of examination. I want to read a quote. William Scroogle, a great preacher of days gone by, said, I would rather go through the tribulation than be a carnal Christian and stand before Christ empty-handed at the bema seat. Wow. I'm thinking this is an old man that probably knew a little more Bible than I do. And he's saying, man, I don't want to stand before Jesus empty-handed. Amen. That'd be a day of shame, a day of great disappointment and tears. And it's supposed to be a day of joy and thankfulness. So the church is caught up, raptured. That's going to happen yet future. The church is going to be examined individually. So then every one of us should give an account of himself to God. Romans 14, 12. Individually, we'll stand before God, bema seat of Christ. And then it's the church's big day. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians and chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse, I'm wondering if that's it. 2 Corinthians 11, 2. Oh yeah, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2. Verse 2. The church's big day. There's going to be some celebration days in heaven. This is going to be one of them. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is when we are presented as a church, as the New Testament church, 2,000 years of church history, people, sinners, saved by grace. We're going to assemble at the feet of Jesus, and we're going to be presented to him a chaste church, Ephesians chapter 5, without spot or wrinkle. We got wrinkles today. We got sin problems today. We got issues. We're still sinners. We still got that fallen nature. But all that's going to be gone. And we're going to be presented to Jesus because of Jesus. It says here in verse 2 of 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. This is Christ talking. I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That day is going to be called the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's going to be food. There's going to be joy. There's going to be laughter. We're going to be in the presence of the bridegroom, Jesus Christ himself. You can read about it in Revelation. Let's go over there. Revelation 19, verses 7 and 8. My Bible opened right up to it. If you're not quite there, I'm going to go ahead and read it. Verse 7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. That's what we did for God while we were here on this earth. Not the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of the saints. It's how we live for him. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. It's the church's big day, except it won't be, here comes the bride. It's going to be, there he is on the throne. we're going to be there for Jesus. We'll be presented to him. We'll already have our glorified bodies. We'll already have our rewards. We'll lay them at Jesus' feet. Can I read something in between the lines here? This is my own conclusion. I have never heard it before anywhere in my life. I kind of just surmised this. I'm not saying this is Bible, this is how it's going to happen. But I'm telling you, at the marriage supper of the Lamb, this just makes sense to me. I might be wrong. I'm telling you that so that when we get there, and if I am wrong, you're not going to come up to me and say, I told you, Pastor. No, I'm telling you, I might be wrong. I think at the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is just logical is all it is, I think that's where we receive our kingdom assignments. Jesus talked about, it was his favorite topic. A good many of the parables are about the kingdom age. He was talking to the Jews. We know that we're going to rule and reign with Christ. As a matter of fact, take your Bibles and turn to Revelation in chapter 20 and look at verses 1 through 6. I just want to read verse 6. That's all I want to do. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's us. That's us. We're the church of Jesus Christ. He promised us that we would rule and reign with him during that 1,000-year kingdom. We're going to reign according to our faithfulness. That's taught by Jesus. That's taught in the Word of God. Church is going to be raptured off of this world. Right now we're filling in the blanks. Then Jesus comes for his church, takes them home before he deals with Israel and this cursed world in which we live for 7 years, Jacob's trouble. So he rescues the church because he's a good God. He rescues the church. The church is being faithful. Let's be that Philadelphia church that is faithful at the sound of the trumpet. He says, finally God the Father says to God the Son, go get your bride. It's time. The trumpet sounds, the voice of the archangel, the church is raptured off of this planet. The 7 years tribulation takes place. We stand before Christ at the Bema seat. We receive rewards accordingly. The next big event is going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. So we attend the marriage supper of the Lamb, arrayed in fine linen, presented. It isn't going to be, here comes the bride. On this earth, it's all about the bride. Nothing wrong with that. That's our culture. I think it's proper. But in Jesus, in heaven, it's going to be all about the groom. It's going to be all about King Jesus. Instead of singing, here comes the bride, we're going to say, there he is. There he is. It's Jesus. And we're going to be presented him. And we have our rewards with us. And we lay them at his feet. It's no leap, not in my mind, to think that it's during that ceremony that we receive our kingdom assignments. We're going to rule with him as kings and priests. I used to think I would probably manage the fiber post office, but that isn't even there anymore. So that is out. We're going to rule and reign according to our faithfulness. If you're very selfish right now, 1,000 years is a long time. Why not serve the King of Kings who has given to you everything? Why not serve him today? Man, you're going to be able to enjoy the 1,000 years. I guarantee you that. Man, now is the time to be faithful and show your love to Christ. Amen. For anybody that is anti-church, I run into more and more of them all the time. Oh, I'm against organized religion. I'm thinking, man, I'm against organized religion too. But the church, the New Testament church, the church of Jesus Christ, that's a command. We're called to, our headquarters is heaven, and we're called to gather, we're called to assemble, we're called to meet, we're called to fulfill the great mandate. We're not supposed to just be with our little old family and raise our little old kids, and then those kids end up getting to be teenagers, and they turn from God because they see the phoniness of all that's going on all around them. Man, let's help one another. Let's be that New Testament church for the glory of God and live for the glory of God. And you might be, maybe you're against church, I just don't like big crowds. I hear that once in a while too. I notice I go to ball games, but I just have a hard time with big crowds, you know. You might miss all of the assemblies here in this world. And I feel bad for you because your family and everybody, you're missing so much because we're here to excite one another, to enthuse one another, to energize one another. Man, it's all there. That's all part of God's plan. There is going to be an assembly you won't miss if you're born again when we assemble in the clouds. Hey, go to Titus in chapter 2 and verse 15. Titus 2 and verse 15. There's going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. Titus in chapter 2 and verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing, that's the rapture, glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're born again, you're going to be at that assembly, whether you like it or not. Whether you like big crowds or not, you will be there. And I'm not chewing anybody up, man. I want everybody, as New Testament believers, let's be faithful. Let's engage with one another. Let's, as a church of Jesus Christ, honor Christ in these last days. And don't accept any phony counterfeits. Don't get all caught up in religions and lighting candles and chants and all of the foolishness and all of the dead religion that this world has to offer. And you can color it any color. It's all over the planet. It's everywhere. But God has a people. I told you a couple Sundays ago, mornings ago when I was preaching, this is extra, but when we come back for the Battle of Armageddon, we're riding on horses. I'm going to be part of the cavalry that day, and I'm really a cowboy at heart. I'm a little boy cowboy in my heart. That's who I am, man. Some of my best memories are in the back of a horse. I just love the horse, the smell of horses. I love the crackling of leather. There's so much about it I loved, and Comanche was a wonderful horse. And I don't know if horses go to heaven, but Comanche, I hope you're there when they're waiting for me when I get there. As a child of God, we're going to be part of God's cavalry, part of the heavenly host. And we're going to hear the command, mount up. That's going to be right at the end of the 7 years. Man, I'm going to get on the back of whatever little Shetland pony God puts me on. That might be what it ends up. Nothing worse than a Shetland pony, a little knothead, you know, thing. But stubborn. They're the independent Baptists of the horse family, the Shetland ponies. Can't teach them anything, you know. But wherever it is, I'm going to look around. And I was told that John Wayne got saved right at the end of his life. And I talked to the man that said he led him to the Lord. Man, I hope he got saved. And some of you heard that testimony when that singing cowboy was here last spring, all right? But if John Wayne's a part of the family of God, I want to make sure I'm near him when we ride out of heaven. Man, I want to yell out, follow me, pilgrim, yeah, and have him follow me for a change. That'd be wonderful. We, as a children of God, as the church of Jesus Christ, there's a great future. I didn't even get into our eternal destiny. There's a happy ending. There's a real, they live happily ever after, forever. That day is coming. But in the meantime, we've got to fill in the blanks. Got to fill in the blanks of our life, faithful to my Savior, to His church, to the work, the mandates He's called and given to us. We're called to be faithful. If you're here and you're hoping you're saved, you might not be saved. So you're just trying to scare. No, I don't want you to go to hell. It's real simple. It's a heart cry to God. You've got to make sure you've done that. There must be a time and a place where you are born again, where you ask Jesus to come into your heart. So if you're here and you're not sure, or you're listening or watching by way of live stream, listening to a radio broadcast, and you're not sure, you need to bow your head right now. So let's pray one more time. And this is an appeal. This is for anyone who does not know they're saved. Dear God, just pray like this in your heart. I need salvation. I need you as my Savior. Please forgive me. Come into my life and come into my heart and save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm trusting you alone for heaven. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, you meant it. Anybody else? You say, I prayed today. I received Christ today. If you're watching by way of live stream and today you prayed and received Christ, tell somebody about it. You got to tell somebody about it. You call us, we'll help you.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.